is the home of Jerry's Percentages.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We just heard Jerry on our promo.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. I might have to listen to the Jerry interview and do a replay of it.
Really?
But as Jerry tomorrow. Jerry versus Gary.
So you asking the questions to Jerry instead of Gary. See what he would come up with.
We'll just see if maybe Jerry can put some different twists on the answers.
All right, let's get creative tomorrow.
Yeah.
Jerry's Percentages.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
I thought that was great.
That's a good line. I don't remember the context of it, though. What were we talking about?
That's as funny as you Jerry
asked
gets.
Him, I think you asked him about the playoff format.
No, I think it was or about him getting booed. Do you think you will actually get cheered tonight or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he was honest because he got up there and people booed him.
But then he got a standing ovation twice in...
Well, don't worry, Chicago, you get to do it again.
Yeah, when Chicago made the trade, I guess, you know, but they weren't cheering him. They were cheering,
the fact
Chicago that. And the Blackhawks Chicago. Being on the clock.
You can do better.
But, yeah, Jerry's Percentages tomorrow.
It'd be good. It'd be exciting.
I think we had a Jerry's a while ago about Jason Grilley. And will he actually still be on the roster by the end of September?
Really?
And I'm pretty sure we were all low on that. And as of this moment,
I'm
it feels
pretty
like,
sure I was 0%.
Yeah. I mean, he was trending in this direction. If you're not aware of the news today, he's been designated for assignment. He's done. He's not going to be a Blue Jay anymore. They'll release him. He'll go sign somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you got an ERA around 7, and every time you're on the mound, people are cringing. It's
going
to happen.
Not going well. I think I voted that he would come fight back.
You were hoping for old man Jason Grilley to figure it out?
Yeah. What if he goes to another team and just turns it on?
That'd be great. I mean, good for him, right?
Yeah.
Like that. There's nothing personal against the guy. Personally, I think he brought everything he could last year.
Yep.
Seems like a kind of guy you want in the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
Gets fired up after big strikeouts, all that kind of stuff. There's no reason to dislike him personally.
Just hasn't gone well.
But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you hit a wall. And for him, he's lucky he's hitting it at 40 and not at 28.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
At 40, you're 14, 15 years into your career. You made a lot of money. You got a pension now, right?
Yeah, he's not going to starve.
No, he's okay.
But
you know, it's the younger guys who come up and get an opportunity and they blow it. Those are the guys you really feel for.
It just stinks because he did so well last year. He kind of endeared himself to the fans. Like you say, he seems like a guy you want to have beers with and, you know, You're happy for him, and then it just the wheels have fallen off right now.
The numbers speak for themselves.
Yeah, they don't lie.
Drake hosting the NBA Awards last night. Did that make him more or less likable?
For me, more. Because you know my stance on him. I say he's a Torontonian, he's proud, and he's a superstar, but he doesn't act like it sometimes. And I'm not saying you have to big-time people, but I feel like he chases the basketball players, when those basketball players should be chasing him because he's a star.
He's Drake. He's the king
but
of the county is what you're saying.
I was very impressed with him. There's never been a doubt in my mind. He's
such an impressive guy.
He's an ultra talent. I've never ever slagged him for that. I just was always disappointed in him that he just seemed like he was kind of like, and I use the term and it's not right. Like a jock sniffer. I hated that.
Well, he made a joke about the bandwagon routine last night. You guys want to hear that?
Yeah, I want to hear that.
You know, people were upset that I'm the host for the first ever NBA Awards because they say I'm a bandwagon fan. I just want to address that. You know, it hurts. I've said it time and time again. It's not true. It's ridiculous. I have two teams, okay? One from my hometown and whoever else is winning at the current time. That's it. Two teams.
See, he's self-deprecating. I mean, what's become clear about Drake is if and when the music fades, and it always fades.
Right.
I mean, the Stones aren't still making great hits. You know, eventually it's going to come to an end. He will always be a part of pop culture, I think, because he'll get into acting.
Yeah.
He'll get into producing or whatever.
Well, he was in acting.
He's already been an actor.
He was Jimmy. That's what I was told.
Jimmy from Degrassi.
Exactly.
I don't think that was him.
It was him.
Mm-hmm. It was 100% him. That's how he got started.
Drake
was in Degrassi.
But he was a different name, right? He wasn't Drake. It was like
Bob of course
Schmatz
not.
Or whatever his
Brad
real name
Pitt
is.
Doesn't play Brad Pitt in all of
no,
his
but
movies.
No, but I'm saying that's not his real name. Is it just Drake?
No, his name's Aubrey. I think it might be his middle name.
Okay, so that's so the credits say Aubrey and whatever his last name is. That's my point.
Aubrey Drake?
No.
I think that might be his middle name. I don't know.
We'll have to obviously verify, but my point is when you watch Degrassi, it just didn't say featuring Drake.
No, of course not. This was before he even got into rapping or anything.
And he was kind of awkward, too, back then.
Well, it was Degrassi.
When I first heard that the guy from Degrassi is going to start rapping, I honestly laughed out loud. I'm like, there's no way that one of those nerds is going to become a rap star.
Well, and he's a big star now.
Big time.
He's a five-star superstar.
Yes.
I thought he did a great job last night.
He was awesome when he hosted the ESPYs, too.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
Fantastic.
He's done well at SNL. I think, again, we talked about this in the 4 p.m. hour. What became clear last night, and this isn't me slagging the NHL or the NHL awards.
Right.
But the NBA invested a lot of money. And you get what you pay for. Drake cost a lot of money. Will Ferrell and two skits cost you a lot of money. Getting Nicki Minaj to come out. And whatever the hell that routine was last night.
Yeah, that
I
was
thought
weird.
That routine was a little bit bizarre, to be honest.
Did you see James Harden giving her the stare down, though?
Well, she was...
This guy was locked
she
in
was, she was not
on
hiding,
Nikki.
Hiding much, I'll tell you that.
Well, she doesn't hide anything. Ever.
I think she's extremely attractive. I don't know what else to tell you.
You're a fan, huh?
I love Nicki Minaj.
I think it's like 85% fake, though, isn't it?
I don't care.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of...
I'm a fan, so I'm not going to deny that.
Surgery.
She's a good-looking girl.
There may have been some surgery.
But I think she's got some work done.
Aubrey Graham.
In multiple areas.
Aubrey Drake Graham.
So his middle name is Drake?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool. She just goes by his middle
name. Nobody's middle name is Drake. Sorry.
That's what it is. Aubrey Drake Graham.
Okay.
I like it.
Let's head out to L.A.
Well, there was a big event in L.A. last night.
2 minutes before
this was
awards.
Brilliant by the WWE. Brilliant. And this is what Vince McMahon does, and this is what he knows more than anyone else, because the NBA awards were starting on TNT at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Guess who came out at 8:58 to Monday Night Raw last night?
Brilliant.
LeVar Ball comes bombing out, tarps off.
Let's bring him in. I need to talk.
All right. Here's Arash Markazi from ESPN LA. Arash, you were there for Monday Night Raw, right?
Front row center, got my front row seat. It was pretty spectacular.
All right, so break this down for us, man. When the Ball family came out, LeVar in particular, what was the reaction from the crowd?
So LeVar is like the ultimate heel already. So like when he comes out and he comes out strutting and he like runs to the ring and he came out with LaMelo Ball, I believe that's the youngest son who's part of the 2019 UCLA recruiting class. He got booed. Now, I think he got a little bit of the rub on his son, Lonzo Ball, which I do think generally everyone in Los Angeles is happy for him, but he comes on the microphone and he's like, you know, the new face of the Lakers, you know, the man who's going to lead them to the playoffs and whatever. So he got booed. I also generally don't know what the cross-section is of WWE fans and Los Angeles Lakers fans. So he didn't get the warmest of receptions, but I think that's just generally because majority of people, I think, in the crowd did not want to see LeVar.
Well, based on your Twitter account and the reaction from Lakers fans and media, and I don't know if you've spoken to anyone from the team, how does the Laker nation feel about Lonzo Ball playing the role that he played last night?
Well, they don't mind Lonzo playing the role because he kind of played the role that he does, which is just like to laugh and be quiet and just kind of just be amused with his dad. Like, it's so interesting when LeVar and Lonzo were in the same room or in the same press conference or on the same show. It's just Lonzo looking at his dad kind of saying, like, what the heck is going on? So, I mean, he's a very quiet guy. Like, I've gotten a chance to talk to him, and he's nothing like his dad. So, in that sense, it's sort of like, I think everyone in Los Angeles is very curious how LeVar will kind of play out now that his son is with the Lakers. But, you know, my general sense is he's still going to do the talk show circuit, But, you know, I don't think he's going to be courtside at games. I don't think we're going to see him at practices and things like that. I don't think he's going to travel with the team. So we're going to hear from him and see him as long as shows want to have him on. But his son is nothing like his dad.
Well, the biggest thought process going into this was Magic Johnson was going to pull this guy aside and say, welcome to the Lakers, but the sideshow's over. Is this not a little bit surprising to you that he even tried to attempt to do this WWE thing?
No, you know, because I think at the end of the day, they still have a company, and we can kind of guess how long the company will last. I mean, they're trying to sell shoes and shirts and hats and ties and all this stuff. So, I mean, as long as they still have this big baller brand company, LeVar is going to try to put himself on as many shows as possible. And so I thought it was interesting last night. You know, they were displaying his shirts. And so, you know, this was sort of a definite plug for his shirts and his clothing line and things of that nature. So as much as the Lakers would like to not have his dad kind of out there and talking and doing the talk show circuit, they have a company to run. And so my guess is their preference would be that he didn't do something like this. But he's a grown man, and so he didn't do anything to put himself in harm's way. He didn't do anything physical. So I think at the end of the day, it's okay.
With Arash Markazi of ESPNLA.com, Mike Wise of The Undefeated reporting, according to a source, LeBron James will never play for the L.A. Clippers. What's the sense in L.A. in terms of the pursuit of LeBron after this upcoming season?
Yeah, you know what? I don't see him coming to the Lakers or Clippers unless they are sort of one piece away from becoming a championship team. And I think maybe this sort of feeling of he will never come to the Clippers, I mean, I think there's just a general feeling that whether he believes they're cursed or whether he believes that they are not one piece away from a championship team, I don't see him coming to the Lakers and I don't see him coming to the Clippers. I mean, I don't think he necessarily needs to live in Los Angeles to do the Hollywood stuff that he wants to do. I mean, he's going to live here in the off season, and he's got a handful of more seasons left. And I'm not saying he's going to stay in Cleveland, but I still think he wants to chase a championship ring. And so unless he feels that he's the final piece of the puzzle for the Clippers or the final piece of the puzzle for the Lakers, I mean, I generally just don't see him coming to Los Angeles. But I know that's what a lot of people are saying because he has a house out here. I've learned a long time, guys. Everyone has a house in Los Angeles that makes enough. You know, they all have a house in Malibu or Manhattan Beach or Hollywood or whatever. So I think as much as he likes Los Angeles and would like to be here, unless he thinks he can win a championship here, I don't think he will come here.
Thank you, Arash. Appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Arash Markazi of ESPN LA. That's a reasonable take on LeBron and where he's going. I mean, the belief is that Magic Johnson is trying to gear up for a pursuit of LeBron, maybe Paul George. Obviously, you mix in Lonzo Ball, and maybe the Lakers are going to have a championship cocktail on their hands come next season. But
does he project from all accounts to be a superstar, or does he project to be a second-tier guy?
I think if you go second overall, you project to be the hope would be as a superstar, but I'm not right. Sure that that's what he's going to be. I don't see him in that category.
All I've heard is that, you know, he's a good player and, you know, there's a circus with the family, but he doesn't seem to be, you know, a KD or a LeBron or like Kyle.
Yeah, I think the hope is at a minimum he's Kyle Lowry, which would be a lot. I mean, right. Considering the way Lowry's played over the past 4 or 5 years. Maybe at the high end, you're a Chris Paul type, a Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's the guy that people compare him to, and Kidd's a great player, was a great player, and will be a Hall of Famer. But Magic Johnson came out the other day when they unveiled him to the media and put huge expectation on him. Really? Essentially said, we want your name up in the rafters when all is said and done. I mean, this kid is getting it left, right, and center, because you know his dad's saying the same thing. Yeah. Now Magic Johnson's saying the same thing. So yeah. The pressure's on him. He's in his hometown. if he can actually become a superstar with all of these expectations and all of these variables he's got to deal with, we're going to have to give him credit.
Yeah.
No matter how we feel about the old man, you're going to have to give the kid credit at some point.
Well, you'll buy a pair of big baller
shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If this guy becomes a superstar, we'll be talking about the shoes.
Maybe
the
I'll
hats.
Shill for the shoes. I'm sure that's what his old man's waiting for, certainly hoping for. Bob McKenzie will join us, our hockey insider, get his take on free agency, which is upcoming on July 1. You guys will be in studio, I believe, both of them.
Wait.
Should be a blast. Bobby Mack will be in there. And you talk about Bobby getting out of there right when the show is done.
Bobby has got a cocktail on the dock an hour and a half after that thing goes off.
Waiting for him. He's put in 10 months. And you put in actually more because of the World Cup. This was a long year because of that World Cup.
Right.
Think of guys who've played in it and then went to the finals. That's a long year.
It's a lot of hockey.
A lot of hockey.
At some point, it's going to catch up to everybody.
Agreed.
So Bob McKenzie will join us. We'll keep teeing up the Jays game tonight, the Jays series with Baltimore in town. They got Baltimore, then Boston, then they're at the Yankees, and then home for four against Houston. The next 13 games are not going to be easy, and they may determine where the Jays end up going between now and the trade deadline. We'll keep teeing that up throughout the hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Don't forget, TSN 1050's Free Agent Frenzy is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. Bob McKenzie will join us here in a moment. The Mayweather-McGregor fight at the end of August. The hype continues, but I was reading something this morning that Manny Pacquiao will not be watching the fight.
Really?
He's saying it'll be a waste of time because I guess he would know. About being a part of an overhyped, waste-of-time fight.
And he says McGregor won't get a valid shot in on him.
Mm-hmm. Which I appreciate.
So McGregor's not going to connect with one punch?
That's what Pacquiao's saying. And Pacquiao would know. Pacquiao was known as a quick puncher, as a guy who would get in there, a brawler to an extent, and he couldn't touch Mayweather. And he's trained as a boxer. So how is McGregor going to figure this out in 2 months?
It's crazy.
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll still be watching.
That's the beauty of it. It doesn't matter.
I will be watching. You will be at your wedding.
I'll be at a
wedding.
I
think we should go. Oh, you got a wedding.
I got a wedding. I would love to be down there for
you. You will be on the headphones on your iPhone.
Well, it's a must-tape situation, but can you tape PVR? I guess pay-per-view? Can you PVR pay-per-view?
I'm sure you can.
I don't know if you can.
If you buy it, if you go and spend the
I guess, what do they care, right?
Or whatever, yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll do that. All right, the Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. Here's Bob McKenzie. What's happening, Bob?
Not a whole heck of a lot. How about you guys?
We're looking forward to the summer.
Loving the UFA list here. Thinking about an eight-hour show about it. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, just put your nose to the grindstone. You know,
not me.
O-Dog's already looking forward to the finish line. He's he's been talking about it all week now.
Got to stay focused, day at a time. Let's go, process, do your job, Bill Belichick. It's the only way.
Well,
I've decided on mailing it in on Monday of my last week.
Here's the savior for you guys. Remember a couple of years ago on July 1, Phil Kessel got traded on July 1st.
Yep.
Like, what are the chances that happens, Bob, where, like, Matt Duchene finally
Could
gets dealt?
Could be Dion Phaneuf.
Or Dion gets dealt on July 1.
There's lots of possibilities that are out there, you know. I don't know whether Galchenyuk's getting traded or not, but there's some names still floating around and some teams that got some work to do. So, yeah, there's a chance, certainly between now and Saturday, for there to be trades, potential for trades on Saturday. And if they happen after Saturday, great. I'll hear about them in the fall.
One thing I've learned about the show is it takes some fireworks from Canadian teams to make the day enjoyable.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, so right now Vancouver's not in the fireworks mode.
You never know with them.
No, you never know, but I wouldn't think so. Calgary, they might be doing some more things, but I wouldn't think it's fireworks level. Edmonton, I wouldn't think is fireworks level unless they get going on McDavid and Dreisaitl and get the contracts done. That'd be something to talk about if they do. Winnipeg's got work to do. Winnipeg needs a goalie. Winnipeg's searching hard for a defenseman. You know, we'd heard a lot of Brian Elliott to Winnipeg rumors. They've kind of cooled off a little bit right now. Maybe they'll get started up again. I think they're trying very hard to find a defenseman. And I think all the, you know, there's been all that talk of Dion and until he got traded Mathot, and a lot of it was related to guys like Dion and Mathot not waiving their no trades to go to other Canadian cities. So we'll see what happens in Winnipeg. Toronto is always a possibility. You know, they're lose Prowling, looking for a defenseman, and I was in on Hamonic, but obviously didn't get the deal done. Ottawa's got some work to do. They want to sign some defense, try to move Phaneuf. Montreal's got work to do. They're looking for a defenseman. They may or may not trade Galchenyuk. So there's certainly, of the seven Canadian teams, three or four of them have a chance to do something on Saturday, if not sooner.
I love the way you say a team was like they're looking for a defenseman. Well, do teams not like Mark Mathot because Dallas didn't give up a whole lot to get him? What are teams? Did they have the blinders on in that one, or what?
No, he had a no trade clause, and all the Canadian teams were on it. So,
well, the Ottawa angle though is what's interesting to me, Bob, is they couldn't come up with more than a second rounder in 2020 and a seventh round pick.
Goalie.
Like, how bad did they really want him?
I don't know, but, you know, there's something. We were all under the impression that, you know, once Mathot got claimed by Las Vegas, that he couldn't be traded back to Ottawa until January 1st. And suddenly, partway through the process, we got wind of, well, maybe that's not true. That we didn't read the rules right, or there was some ambiguity in the rules and that. But I got to be honest with you, I thought everybody was under the impression, including the Senators and maybe Vegas and maybe the league for a brief period of time, that you know, it couldn't happen until January the 1st. And then all of a sudden came word that it could. And by then, I'm not sure I think Ottawa had probably moved on a little bit. They made efforts, and maybe Vegas, for whatever reason, wanted to send him to Dallas instead of Ottawa. I don't know. Or Ottawa wasn't prepared to meet the price, or the price for Ottawa was different. I don't know what the deal is there. But there was a little bit of mystery about that whole rule and whether there was ambiguity or we just didn't understand it properly in the first place. Well, I'm voting for ambiguity versus we didn't understand it.
Well, now that he's gone, I mean, they pick up and they dust themselves off and Ottawa moves on and they figure out what they're going to do to replace him. But it feels as if they've decided, you know what, we got to get rid of our other top four left-handed defensemen in Dion Phaneuf. And we were talking about this earlier. I understand, you know, 4 years left at $7 million. That's a big commitment. That's a big contract. But beyond the contract, like, why are they looking to move on from Dion? What's the story here?
I think a couple of things, and I could be wrong on this, but I think what they saw from Frederik Claesson in the playoffs suggests that he may be able to move up and potentially, in the absence of Mark Mathot, play alongside Erik Karlsson. And I think they're penciling in, and again, you got to be careful with kids coming right out of junior. But Thomas Chabot looks like the real deal. This guy looks legit. Oh, you saw him at the World Juniors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think he's in. You know, I thought he and Charlie McAvoy for the defensemen in that tournament were on another level from everybody else. And McAvoy kind of demonstrated it as soon as he got into the Boston lineup in the playoffs. You're kind of like, oh wow, like if that guy's not the American Drew Doughty, I don't know who is. And Chabot was similar in terms of, you know, jaw dropping. Ability to skate the puck up the ice, make plays, and, you know, he might be ready to drop into that top four on Ottawa right now. And I think what Ottawa is also the secondary factor, in addition to Claesson and potentially being ready to move up the lineup and Chabot ready to move into the lineup, they are starting, I think, to look at the reality of 2 years from now or even a year from now, because a year from now they can extend Erik Karlsson. And you know they're going to make every effort to do that. And if they're not trying to get rid of Dion's money now, then they certainly will be trying to get rid of it a year from now. And in the playbook of Stan Bowman, you saw what he did. He had 2 years of Panarin left, he had 2 years of Chalmerson left, and he knew that at the end of those 2 years, no chance he's re-signing either one of those guys. So as painful as it was for him to do it, he said, you know what, Cap World, you're far better to get rid of a guy a year too soon, because a year from now, the value of Panarin and Chalmerson going into their final year before free agency is not going to be as great now as when somebody can buy them for 2 years. And he managed to parlay 2 years of Panarin into 4 years of Brandon Saad at the same dollars, and managed to parlay 2 years of Chalmerson into 5 years of Connor Murphy. Now, we might not love the Connor Murphy for Chalmerson exchange as much. Maybe we will in 2 years when Chalmerson would have been walking out the door and they've got Murphy for another 3 years. But that's to be determined whether Connor Murphy can step up to that level.
You just mentioned, you know, Panarin and Chalmerson. Do you not find it weird, Bob, that Joel Quenneville, the head coach of the Blackhawks, was not at the draft when I think, I don't know what the percentage was, but it seemed like every other head coach was there, and the host team, the coach wasn't there.
Yeah, he showed up Saturday. He was there Saturday. He wasn't there Friday. And it sounds like, based on the other media reports, that he wasn't too happy. And I'm guessing the part he wasn't too happy about would have been Chalmerson.
Yeah.
Because he loves Chalmerson. Yeah, I always say this, that Joel Quenneville was probably at his absolute happiest as a coach in life when he could throw out Keith and Seabrook, Chalmerson and Oduya, shift after shift after shift, and not even worry about who was on the third pair. Because the combination of those four guys could basically play almost the whole game outside of about 7 or 8 minutes. And when you could spot in your third pair of guys like Roosevelt or Van Riemsdyk or whatever the case may be. And so that was his absolute security blanket, was having those top four defensemen. And then Oduya left and he was down to three. And it was never quite the same, but he still managed to find a way to win. And then Oduya came back, and he was for a brief period of time, and he was back to all four, and he seemed quite content again. But now Oduya's gone, and Chalmerson's gone too. So now he's really left with two, and he's got to warm up to Connor Murphy before he feels all warm and fuzzy like he did for Chalmerson. So, you know, whatever. He wasn't happy either when Mike Kitchen got let go. No question about that. So it's an interesting dynamic between a head coach and a general manager. Sometimes they're real buddy-buddy. Sometimes they're not buddy-buddy at all. And yet they find a way to make it work. And so obviously things have gone on with the departure of Kitchen, the departure of Chalmerson, that we assume that Joel Quenneville might not be thrilled about. But he's got a contract, he's got a job to do, and, you know, whatever, if it takes him a day, he's kind of like you. Oh, maybe just, you know, sometimes he gets a little ticked off and he needs a little...
time out.
A little time out.
A reprieve, yep.
Yeah, and he just needed a day just to sort out his feelings. And you know, he was there Saturday, so, you know, and he's going to be there behind the bench, as far as we know.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, whatever it is whatever it is, but... you got to allow them. It's a high pressure job for everybody, and if a coach is mad, and I don't know what level of, you know, I'm not in Joel Quenneville's mind or his psyche, but you know, I'm going to assume he wasn't thrilled about some things. But if you take a time out and you come back, you get right back at it.
Absolutely. I wanted to circle back.
What are you shaking your head at the time out?
Well, I'm just saying, I would think if you're Stan Bowman and the guy blows you off on Friday, wouldn't you say take the whole weekend off?
No.
Why would you have him come back on the Saturday?
You know what? Because it's at the end of the day, it's not important whether the coach is there or not. Some coaches show up. Most coaches show up, but there are some that, you know, sometimes they got a social function like a wedding or a family function or something, and they're on, hey, do you mind if I take the weekend off? They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Not a big deal. So, you know, the fact that it was in Chicago might have added a little to the whole thing. But you know what? At the end of the day, you don't sweat the small stuff. And in my mind, if I were a general manager in the National Hockey League, and I know I just deep six the best friend and the running mate of the, in terms of Kitchen, as the assistant coach, and then I just traded one of his most beloved players, Chalmerson, if my coach needs a 24-hour timeout to sort it out. And as I say, we're speculating on all this. I don't even know. For all I know, you know, Joel had a dentist appointment on Friday. I have no idea, but we can kind of guess and speculate. In any case, if you're Stan Bowman, you're like, you know what? You don't get to be a general manager of the National Hockey League by getting your feelings hurt. So you just say, hey, I'll just don't sweat the small stuff, man. And, you know, Joel's going to be back there on Saturday, and he was, and he's going to be back behind the bench, and let's get busy.
Maybe Q was at the horse races. He loves
Maybe
that.
Maybe he was.
That's what I wanted.
Maybe him and Eddie O went out and bought a horse. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to know what he was doing on Friday night.
He was probably chewing on cigarettes, pissed off.
Just
it happens,
napping.
But Bob, I wanted to circle back on Vegas. It seemed like with the expansion draft and what was going on for those couple days, that they were holding the league hostage. And now it's almost like the asking price maybe has come down a little bit for some of their players that they have, because they've got to move a few contracts out, do they not?
Yep, for sure. I don't think they want to be... I think they want to move Emelin, maybe Sabiza, although I think initially the word I got when I was in Vegas was the two defensemen for sure that they wanted to move were Mathot and Emelin. And I'm sure they'll move Emelin. That's another one where I think Emelin's got modified no trade, and there was all sorts of talk that Winnipeg was in on him, and that maybe Emelin's not waving to go to the Peg. So, you know, but that may change over time, and who knows. But again, that... I think you're right in terms of the dynamic. For the longest time there, George and the Vegas Golden Knights had all the leverage. And now they've got a little bit of a surplus at a time when there's other defensemen also available on the market. So the price has come back down. But, you know, people are saying, well, they didn't get much from a thought. Well, they still got a second-round pick for them. And it's in 2020, which starts to spread out their draft pick distribution nicely. And that was all part of the master plan. The master plan is, let's not be as good as we possibly can be right out of the gate. Let's be really good in 5 or 6 years and actually have a chance to contend. Let's become the first team ever in the history of expansion to go into our first entry draft with more than one first-round pick, and they had three in the top 15. And they've got, you know, they're going to have multiples down the road as well. And so if the first 3 years of the draft, they managed to accrue an extra 7 to 8 really sort of A-plus assets that come out of that, then 5 years from now they will be a team that can be reckoned with, as opposed to a team that maybe, like in the past, Minnesota Wild, Florida Panthers come to mind. They did a pretty good job coming out of the gate in expansion because they went with a lot of veteran players who would follow the blueprint of a coach in Minnesota like Jacques Lemaire, and they were really, really competitive to start, but then they had a tough time getting out of that competitive mode. And same thing in Florida. And obviously, although they did get to the Cup Final a lot sooner than people thought they would.
Thank you, Bob. We'll do it again on Thursday.
Thanks, fellas.
The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance and Monthly Payment Plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. How much would you have paid to be sitting beside Joel Quenneville on Friday night?
When he was spitting nails?
Somebody
put on Twitter that he stormed out of the coaches' meetings at our hotel.
Yeah, I think that was circulating a bit at the draft.
Absolutely.
And some of us had heard that. But I think if it's a one-off in St. Louis or in Nashville or right. in Montreal, this was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, he is building. The head coach of the team that is hosting the draft. And listen, I understand why he'd be disappointed. I get it. Yeah. But I just... Man, would he be fired up on that Friday night.
Choke.
For him to be like, I'm out of here and I'm not, presuming that's what happened. And I think we could all make that safe presumption.
Yeah, you can put
Let's be honest. He didn't have a dentist appointment. I mean, he knew about the draft for quite some time.
Yeah.
He said, I'm out of here. And that's why if I'm Bowman, I'm saying, listen, we're all good.
Right.
But don't come in Saturday, because then it highlights the whole thing.
People are like, why weren't you here last night?
Like, what, now everything's cool? Like, just take the weekend off. Disappear for the summer. Maybe people will forget about it come September.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's...
Now that I do think about it, though, I don't remember seeing him at a lot of them.
The drafts? He's there every year.
I had a beer with
every
him single, one night.
Every coach is there. They have to be there.
Yeah.
They're the coach of the team. They all say the same thing off the record. We do nothing here. It's a complete waste of our time.
But
I get paid $5 million a year and I have to fly in for it.
We saw AV at the airport.
Yeah, the next day. Well, the... Yeah, I mean, and he was ready to get out of town, man.
In full sprint mode.
Yeah, he was like, I got a bird to catch.
Yeah.
Peace.
Like right at the end of the draft, he was like the first guy off the draft floor.
I'm not convinced the last name had been announced either. Like it was cutting it close.
It was close, yeah.
I think the Rangers were probably done.
Yeah.
And AV was like, get me back to either New York or Montreal or wherever he was going.
Yeah.
Don't forget, TSN 1050's Free Agent Frenzy is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. All right, Brent Musburger circling back on his comments about A.J. McCarron's girlfriend.
Doubling down.
Back in the day. We'll let you hear what he had to say about that. And is he feeling any remorse?
No guy.
We'll touch on that next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't forget to set your PVR on TSN 2. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes. We've played a lot of audio today.
Really?
Like Drake, what? Drake.
Dude,
McEnroe.
You know the type of audio he wants.
I want a full interview.
He wants a presser, a 12-minute presser, so that he can get up and...
Yes.
Well, I guess we could have played, you know, Gibbons was speaking on Grilly in the previous hour.
Why not?
Because I don't think anyone cares.
Babble on and torture me.
I don't think people care enough.
Really?
What is Gibbons going to say?
What you're talking about.
What is Gibbons going to say?
So a guy on the 401 right now wants to hear Gibby go.
Yesterday, Leafs Lunch talked to Dave Andrechuk. There's no reason we couldn't have replayed that interview.
That was today, and we've spoken to Andrechuk. He got into the Hall of Fame yesterday afternoon.
It was after Leafs Lunch he got announced, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course it was. And it would be even better if it was yesterday. Imagine playing an interview today from yesterday.
I'm just saying, there's no reason we couldn't have played that.
You know what we could have replayed? Our interview with Gary Bettman.
Maybe.
We could have easily tossed this one out there. We caught up with Brian McCabe down at the draft. Here's what he had to say. Boom.
Caber may have been worthy of a replay.
Our Jerry interview. We had all Caber's kinds of audio from the draft we could have replayed for people.
That was on Friday. Like, find the podcast. That's
we talked to Austin Matthews. We could have played Austin. Tomorrow
right.
We're
Austin
gonna play
took
the
a
Austin
shot at
podcasted.
You.
Find everything podcasted online.
No,
check it out on iTunes.
We're going to replay Austin Matthews tomorrow.
Austin took a shot at you wearing jorts.
That's
you want
fine.
That?
You
we
better
can run that
next
sound.
Year.
And Caber took a shot at you at, what was it called?
Gastric bypass surgery.
Bypass surgery.
Was in the cards for the O-Dog.
Man,
I'd rather
Caber.
That than have his skullet.
That's a good the poll kid. Question.
Yeah. What would you rather have, skullet or boiler?
Gastric bypass surgery or a skullet? What would you take?
Well, I don't want no skullet.
But you can get hair transplant, can't you? Or wear a wig. But
that's the beauty of a gastric bypass surgery.
He has
shrinks
a
the
deep
the
monkey bum cooking.
It shrinks your barrel, and
that's true.
Then you go down the Rex Ryan routine.
It's true.
You know. Anyway, Brent Musburger is one of our favorites.
Yes, he is.
And he's retired now. He lives in Vegas. He's a handicapper now. Handicapped sporting events. You tune into his radio show, and he tells you where to put your money. But a number of years ago, he was calling I think it was an Alabama-Auburn game. It was certainly an Alabama game because A.J. Right. McCarron was a quarterback. And at the time, his girlfriend was named Catherine Webb. She's now his wife.
Oh, really? They're together?
Yeah, they got married. So A.J. McCarron ended up locking down Catherine Webb.
Isn't he like a third stringer now with the Bengals?
Yeah, he was a second stringer with the Bengals. I think he's, you know, he'll kick around the NFL for a long time. I don't see him being a starter. But he's a guy that'll just be a backup for 15 years.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. But he was the star at Alabama. I believe he won at least one national title. And his girlfriend is Catherine Webb, or his wife now. So, you know, decent get. Let's put it that way. Decent life for A.J. McCarron. This is the original audio of Musburger spotting Catherine Webb in the crowd.
You see that lovely lady there? She does go to Auburn, I want to admit that. But she also, this Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women. What a beautiful woman.
Wow, A.J.'s doing
whoa. Some-
So that was in 2013.
Whoa.
The whoa at the end, really, that's the icing on top, yeah, isn't it? Really, or the cherry on top. So I guess Musburger was talking to SECCountry.com and was asked if he feels the same way today that he did back in 2013. Would he retract it? Would he maybe approach it differently? Here's what Musburger had to say. Musburger said, quote, "I call the beauty queen beautiful. Give me a break. I mean, come on. That was like, what are you talking about?" Now, this is where it got interesting, though. He went on to say he'd been out for dinner the night before with Kirk Herbstreit, and Herbstreit was a star quarterback at Ohio State.
Right.
And he said Herbstreit and his wife, we were out together the night before, and the rest of the comments were addressed to him. I thought it was silly, to tell you the truth. So in other words, he's saying, listen, Herbstreit, I love your wife. I think she's gorgeous, too. And I was talking about your whole situation. So I think in a way he's almost digging himself a deeper hole here.
Wow.
Because, you know, he's saying, yeah, quarterbacks get all the girls, including the guy I'm in the booth with right now, who I happened to be out with last night with your beautiful wife.
So he's just zero craps given by the Mus.
Musburger doesn't care anymore. Yeah, he
wants
doesn't
to gamble,
care.
Set up gambling, and just ride off into the sunset.
He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants.
He's a legend, and he doubled down. That's fine with him.
He's a beautician. We're big fans. I miss him already.
Do you?
He's one of the great broadcasters of all time.
Yeah.
Time now for our best bets, brought to you by Proline. Over the number in the Jays game tonight, I'm on Cleveland at home, and I'll take Houston home plus against Oakland. Throw down 20, and you can score 75. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN1050 Radio, and get way into the game with Proline.
How about that Cleveland game yesterday?
Indians? What about it?
I think they were down 9-2.
Yeah, they were. They were down 7. They ended up winning by like a significant margin. Yeah, it was a bit of a blow-up, I would say. I was busy watching LeVar Ball on Monday Night Raw and Drake do his thing. Pretty good night.
No, it was a good night.
Jays in action tonight. Jason Grilly.
Well, we'll see how the Jays go.
This is a must win.
This is a game 7. They got to start it off.
Well, the next 13 games, I mean, enough with going. The, hey, this is the block where they really figure it out.
Right.
This is actually the block because it's teams you're really chasing.
I agree.
All right, we're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.